for the 30th, 2005. Okay, the first question that we usually ask, but since you've already mentioned that you worked for Lockheed, so before 1941, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, you were working for Lockheed?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And was that in?
California.
Okay, and how did you get to California?
Well, Earl Whitaker and I went out there looking for work in the fall of 39.
Okay.
And I kept pestering Lockheed for a job because I got tired of washing dishes in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And they offered me a job sweeping floors. I swept floors about 3 months, and they put me in a new factory as a supervisor in charge of a department, farm boy.
Okay.
And I had quite a few people working under me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never could join, and I never was drafted on account of the job I had.
Okay, now, what did Lockheed make? Oh, what kind of planes?
P-38s, B-17s.
Okay.
They made a lot of Marvick planes.
Okay, and what qualities do you think you had that made them put you in charge?
I don't know. I guess just being a farm boy and was a good worker.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't ever figured that out.
Okay, and what you were in charge of a group of men.
Oh, yeah, I had about 35 people.
Okay.
And a whole bunch of machines. We were in the shear department, which cut the metal for the planes.
Mm-hmm.
And I never could join. I tried to join, mm-hmm. but I had that supervision job, and they thought that was more important, I guess, mm-hmm. building airplanes.
Right.
But then they finally passed a law. They were going to, well, it was about the time of the Battle of the Bulge, and they said they was going to take everybody under 25 years old, regardless of what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they got me.
Okay.
I like 2 months being old enough that I wouldn't have. 3 months, I guess.
Okay, all right. So, when you were at Lockheed, you stayed there until they drafted you?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember how much money you were making?
Oh, you can't believe this. I'd worked there 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
They finally took me off an hourly rate and had me on a monthly rate. And mm-hmm. I was making $300 a month.
Wow. This is good money.
Well, it was back in them days.
Yeah, but... Yeah, now it wouldn't be.
No, wouldn't be enough to do nothing now.
Mm-hmm.
And I met my wife out there in California.
Now, were you married before you were drafted?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, we got married in 41.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Nebraska girl out there. She's working at a restaurant across the street from Lockheed, and I'd go over there to get a milkshake and... She's the only one to make a decent milkshake.
So you married her.
So I married her.
Where were you when you heard the news about Pearl Harbor?
Oh, I think we was at a friend's house playing mm-hmm. cards one night when we heard that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it kind of spooked everybody. Of course, then after that was... I had to watch our lights and drove with hardly any lights on our cars and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Because of the security
yeah.
issue?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, we had a nice time in California. That was back in the big band area, and we was going on to the dances, and the cowboy bands were starting up, and we'd go to their dances.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good time back then. A
lot of things to do there.
Yeah.
Now, you said that you, at night in your home, you wouldn't have your lights on?
No, yeah, we would. Yeah, we would. We could have our lights on, yeah. But when you're driving the car, it seemed like they had a thing they put over the headlights, and you just had a little slit of lights. And,
I didn't know that.
Because they was afraid that we might get bombed, mm-hmm. you know, with... They could have reached our factory from the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know that I talked to someone, and he was on patrol on the West Coast.
Yeah.
A member of the Army, and was on patrol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, my brother, he was killed in the war. He was about 2 years younger than I am.
And when did he join, or when did he go?
Well, he went in before I did, quite several years. He was in the, I guess the Armory, and then he took flight training and he became a pilot. And he was flying an airplane in Europe. And after the war, he found out where I was stationed. And he flew down there to see me, getting a little old airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he wanted to take me up for a ride. And we got to the end of this little grass strip, and we wasn't airborne. Right into a bunch of trees.
Oh, my.
So we spent 8 days together in the hospital. Had a nice visit.
Well, I bet you did. Were you seriously injured?
No, I wasn't. My brother was hurt worse than I was. Just
mm-hmm.
broke the engine off. Kind of about broke his legs. And it cut me up. I didn't know nothing until I come through and went to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he was killed after that.
During the war?
No, oh. It was after.
Well, it was after the war.
He was ferrying troops, and they got into a storm, and he flew right into a mountain.
Oh.
And I couldn't know anything about it. I mean, as far as he got married over there.
Mm-hmm.
It was after the war.
Okay. Okay.
And, I don't know. We've lived a good life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So, if we can go, you were working at Lockheed, and then you were drafted.
I went to Little Rock, Arkansas, to take basic.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of the summer, naturally.
Okay.
And then I went after I got through with basic. I thought, well, I'll go to Fort Benning and take paratroop training.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I might like that better than the Army. Then they was taking everybody in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And but they was needing bodies over there in Europe. So I went over in an infantry division.
Now, did you have to have special training for the infantry?
We had plenty of that down in Little Rock.
Okay,
yeah.
The basic,
yeah.
The marching. And
oh, yeah. And then under fire and knew how to do everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With hand grenades and rifles. And yeah, and then they shipped us to New York, and that's where we shipped out of.
What did you think when you were on that ship ready to go across the sea?
I went over on a Queen Mary.
Oh, you did?
There was, I think they said there was 18,000 of us on that ship besides the crew.
Oh, my.
There were 15,000, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That Queen Mary hauled lots of troops during the war.
Mm-hmm.
All over the world, not just across to Europe. But
they just turned it into a troop ship then mm-hmm. during the war. Were you...
We landed in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And I got off that ship, went on a train, went down through Scotland and England. Got off that ship, got off that train, got right on another ship, went across the channel.
Mm-hmm.
To France, got off of that ship, got on another train.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the front lines in 10 days.
Oh my, that was almost too fast for you to think about it.
Yeah, we picked up our equipment and stuff in Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see a lot of action, but we had to clean out the force and the towns and everything, and that was kind of spooky.
Mm-hmm. So what equipment you picked up in Belgium? You mean your trucks and things like that?
Yeah, rifles and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And then you just started marching?
Yeah, they took us to the front,
mm-hmm.
which was at that time on the Rhine River.
Okay.
And we've done some more training there.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of training was that?
Well, it was, I don't know, mainly to get our minds set to go into action, thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no bridges across that river.
Okay.
We had to go across on a pontoon bridge. And then it was just, we was just cleaning up the force and the town behind the armor. See, mm-hmm. the Germans was on the run then.
Mm-hmm. So when you cleaned them up, what did that mean?
Well, we had to go into all the houses, pick up all the weapons, and just take them out in the street and destroy them.
Okay.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, we run into some trouble one day in a little town after we cleaned it out. That plane had flown over and said there was an outfit in front of us ambushed. And of course, we just get in the trucks. We drive right out right out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get very far out of town until the bullets started flying around us. So we had to get out of the trucks and get back in town.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just, we were just cleaning up towns and force and getting the Germans corralled up.
Now, the German soldiers had moved on. You were pushing them back. Did they leave things?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they left a lot of stuff. We picked up souvenirs from these towns and stuff.
What kind of souvenirs would people
get? Guns and caps and just stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And were you permitted then to bring them home or send them home? Or?
They let us bring one pistol home.
Okay.
And we could send a rifle or something like that home
mm-hmm.
after the war. And when I got to the, on the way to getting ready to come home, we got to Le Havre, France, and they called me out of ranks and said, if you're going to Paris, you're going to fly home. My mother had got an emergency furlough for me.
Oh.
I guess she'd been trying.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Paris and spent three or four days waiting for this plane trip. And then we flew to Scotland, landed to Iceland and Labrador and on the way home.
Okay. It was another quick trip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had to ride in an old paratroop plane from where we landed in the northeast. Into Topeka.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got signed out of the Army.
Now, was that the first time you'd flown?
Oh, no. I flew when I was...
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and paratroop.
For training.
Yeah, paratroop training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'd flown before because Earl Whitaker, my mm-hmm. friend out here, he's been a spray pilot all
okay.
his life, and I've flown with him a lot.
Now, did he... Was he drafted also? I mean, he was in California with
you.
Yeah,
but he went into the Merchant Marines.
Okay.
And he never went overseas.
Mm-hmm. When you joined, did you run into people from Kansas that you knew?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Okay.
Not really.
And you were married when you were drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And did your wife stay in California, or did she come back to Nebraska?
No, she went to Nebraska and was staying with my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Up there, North Platte.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did make a trip down to, where'd she come to? Fort Benning, I guess, to see me one time.
Okay.
Before I shipped out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go back to Europe. So you were cleaning up the forest and the small towns, and there were some skirmishes along the way with German soldiers. So every day you would just sort of move further?
Mm-hmm.
And
when we got to the Elbe River, which is this side of Berlin, that's as far as they were going to let us go.
Mm-hmm.
Because Eisenhower and, they'd got together with Stalin and they'd all got their heads together. They said we're going to stop there and let the Russians take Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad we did because them Russians lost a lot of people in taking Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And
so once you reached that river, you just sort of stayed there?
Yeah, we was in a little town. We run all the people out of that town. We moved into their houses.
So the civilians?
Yeah, civilians.
Okay, so you would just go in and say, You have to get out?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had a bunch of displaced people in that town, slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we give them a bunch of beer and stuff that night. And
mm-hmm.
We found the mayor of the town hanging up the next morning.
Really?
Yeah. They got rid of him.
Where were they from? From Eastern Europe or?
All different countries. Czechoslovakian, Polish, and I don't know what all the different countries they were from.
And they were working in the factories there?
No. It was a farming country.
Oh.
I don't know what all they had to do, but and while we was in this little town there along the Elbe River, them Germans was coming across that river from the east to any way to get across to get away from the Russians.
Because
mm-hmm. them Russians was really giving them a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, while we, after the war was over, we went to a town, and it's not too far from where they had the Nuremberg trials
mm-hmm.
for their German people. And I don't know, we just moved around different towns.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you said the Germans were coming across the Elbe, were those German civilians or German soldiers?
So, well, the civilians too.
Okay. And what?
Then we had outposts. After the war was over,
mm-hmm.
the Russians had an outpost, and we'd have an outpost about a quarter of a mile apart, checking all, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And them Russians were shooting them people, trying to get back to their homes. They didn't make any difference to them, they just shot them.
Hmm.
So I don't know, them damn Russians was mean or mad or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, of course, they'd been invaded by Hitler, too, so...
Oh, yeah, they killed lots of Russians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when you went to the small town and you found the people that were slave laborers, how did you know? Were they dressed a certain way, or...?
Yeah. Yeah, you could tell mm-hmm. that they weren't Germans.
Okay. And you couldn't communicate with them. I mean, they didn't know English, or okay.
And all that went on for probably a couple of weeks, you know, waiting for the Russians to take Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just moved to different towns after that. I don't know, just.
And you just did the like guard duty or something.
Well,
like?
In Munich. They made railway MPs out of us, some of us. I was mm-hmm. a railway MP for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Went over into Czechoslovakia on a train to get coal and things like that. But then, I don't know, we just didn't do a lot till it was time for us to come home.
Mm-hmm. When you got there and then you were marching in and clearing out, did you have support troops where they would, what kind of food did you have? Or did you have the K or C rations?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we had the K rations.
Mm-hmm.
And we ate them for so long your mouth would get sore. You know, them old dry crackers and stuff they had in them K rations.
Mm-hmm. What would you drink?
Well, we had water.
And where would you get the water from, a well or something?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd get water from the German wells and stuff like that.
Okay. And where would you sleep? Did you have...
About any place you could find.
So, if you... Go ahead.
Oh, we was trying to take a big pill box sitting on a hill one time, and... They were SS troopers. They'd shoot medics. They'd shoot anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a terrible time taking that pill box. Finally, I guess they gave them notice we were going to get planes in there and bomb it. And then we went right up there. They left.
Mm-hmm. The pill box is out of cement.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just has the narrow slit.
Mm-hmm.
So they could shoot at you, but you had a hard time getting into
them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think when you were doing that kind of fighting?
Oh. Well, you didn't know. You might be next.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going up this hill, and one guy had been hit, and I was laying there along the road. And I didn't know what to do, to help him or what. But I didn't. If I had him, they'd have probably shot me. And we lost medics and paratrooper, or machine gun guys and everything that day. But it seemed like then after that we didn't run into a lot of trouble. But we got to that Elbe River and they stopped us.
But could you form an opinion of Germany or the German people as you marched through?
I felt like I liked the German people a lot better than I did the French.
Why was that?
I don't know. The French people was, I don't know, you just don't like their attitude or something. I don't know, they're different. The Belgium and Holland people were nice. But the civilians and the Germans, I think we liked them better than we did the French. And I know I got to take a furlough one time after the war was over and went to Switzerland. Some of us did. That was a nice trip.
Where were you when you heard that victory in Europe had been declared? Do you remember? Or how did you find out about it?
Well, I suppose our commander told us. We sat there on that Elbe River waiting for the Russians to take Berlin, and when they did that, well, then the war was over.
Do you remember how you felt?
Oh, man. Yeah, you was glad it was all over. Well, one thing that bothered us, the Japanese were still fighting. And we felt like, well, some of us may get sent over there. And probably would have if we hadn't dropped the atomic bomb. So, we're still nervous about the whole thing.
Because that would have been in May, and then we dropped the bomb in August, so there would have been,
Is that when it was? In August?
August
8th. Yeah, German war was over in May.
May 5th, isn't it?
Yeah, May.
VE Day, I think. Or maybe May 7th, or May 8th. Somewhere right in there, I know. Now, when you were over there, were you able to ride home?
Oh, yeah.
And did you do that on a regular basis?
Yeah, and then we got our mail from home. It would catch up with us. Letters from our family. And we tried to ride home on a regular basis.
Could you let them know where you were and what you were doing?
Well, after we got to the Elbe River and the war was pretty much over, we could, But you couldn't disclose too much stuff. Oh, I don't know. I was lucky. Didn't get hurt other than that plane wreck my brother did.
Well, when you talk about World War One or World War Two, is there a particular person, whether it's maybe one of your friends or an officer, or a particular incident that you seem to, you know, remember very strongly and talk about?
Yeah, I had a buddy that got hit with some shrapnel from a artillery shell. Just about cut him in two. We had several fellas get wounded pretty bad. But I don't know, I just guess I was always in the right place.
How did you deal with that? I mean, when you saw your buddies die?
You get pretty hard in your ways, you know, going through all that. You just take it as part of the job.
When you went in, do they prepare you for things like that? I mean, did they ever say?
No, not really.
Okay.
No, I don't remember anything like that.
Now, when you went in, was that the first time that you had really been away from home?
Well,
you were in California.
I went to California.
Right. Okay.
Well, I'd been away from home when I went to college. Went to business college in Hutchinson.
Oh, okay.
One winter.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was in a CC camp down here at the, built that lake down here at Ashland.
Oh, okay. And that would have been in the 30s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
After I got out of high school.
Okay, talk a little bit about those CC camps. It's the Civilian Corps?
Yeah. That was something that Roosevelt did, and they built windbreaks and put up trees, you know. And
mm-hmm.
They was putting this dam on that lake down there. And they had barracks just about like you was in the Army,
mm-hmm.
but it was a civilian job. We drove trucks and caterpillars and stuff to work on that dam. And I done that after I got out of high school. I don't remember now how long I was down there, but it wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it young men of a certain age that could do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes. About all of them would have been my age, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. And did you get paid to do it?
Yeah, but not very much.
Okay. But you got food?
We got our place to live and food. And then they would take us to town on Saturday nights and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Okay.
It wasn't all that bad.
Right. When you were in basic training and then when you went overseas, you met young men from all over the United States.
Yes.
Was that difficult to, number one, learn to follow orders and obey and to live with men who had been raised differently than you?
No, you seem like you always made buddies with certain guys, and I've still got buddies I write to. And,
oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And where are they now?
One of them's in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
And another one's down in Texas. I'm about the only two I ever keep corresponding with.
Do you see them?
This one from Texas did come up mm-hmm. one time.
Okay.
But this has been several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The one in Wyoming, I haven't seen him. Mm-hmm. I did once. We were on a trip one time. We drove up through Wyoming and we looked him up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. You make friends with certain guys in there and you don't forget it.
Mm-hmm. When you write to them, what do you talk about your war experience or you just...
No.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, not really. Forget that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you just what you're doing and how they getting along, how is he getting along and
mm-hmm.
things like that. And, yeah, I don't know. That's been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I got out in 46, so how many years has that been?
Well, it'll soon be 60 years.
Yeah.
Because next year will be 2006.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So I guess really I would have been 24 years old when I went in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you were... I'm sure that some of the young men were in their 18, 20.
Oh, yeah, a lot younger.
Mm-hmm.
I just had that job with Lockheed, and they wouldn't let me join. And I could, and as long as I had that supervision job, I was a supervisor over people and machines.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nice, good experience. And I could have went back to that job, but I didn't.
My you dad, wanted to come back to Kansas?
My dad was needing help on the farm, so
mm-hmm.
I just came back and helped him on the farm and finally took it over. my granddad on my dad's side, W.W. Ward,
mm-hmm.
he was the first mayor of Copeland.
Oh, okay.
And he built this house, two-story house right across over here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in, I think he had something to do with the government in Kansas at one time too, like a representative or something. But
okay. Now, had your father